I'm going to push record this time. How did you meet your husband?
I was going to France to study for the summer. Mm-hmm. And I had my best friend in Egypt. I had a young man that was interested in me. Okay. And he asked if we knew anyone that we could introduce to his friend, his mm-hmm. buddy. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes. Very young. She was a dentist, and her name was Mona, and her dad's name was Victor. And I said, she lives in Egypt, and he could meet her. She's very special, and they live mm-hmm. in Ma'adi, which is a nice area of town. Mm-hmm. Her dad was a general in the police, and I've known him since they've been friends of my parents before I was born, at least.
Wow.
Maybe your dad was already born by that time, but mm-hmm. in Port Said.
Oh, yeah.
So that happened. Well, it didn't work out with me and this gentleman, and mm-hmm. By the time all happened, she was already engaged.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So time passed, mm-hmm. and Uncle Onsi came in the picture, and he was supposed to meet her,
mm-hmm.
go to Egypt. Well, to meet her. And her dad said, well, there is a young lady that was here this summer whose family and, you know, told mm-hmm. him her. And she's in the United States. My daughter is already engaged, mm-hmm. but would love for you to meet Hilda.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And so I was going to France to study, and back then mm-hmm. you had to go to New York. Pa and Tata mm-hmm. were going up to Sloan Kettering. Pa was mm-hmm. was doing, you know, research mm-hmm. with Sloan yeah. Kettering, his, you know, the cancer research. Mm-hmm. So he said, would you like to drive up with us to New York and then meet your group in New York and mm-hmm. leave? I said, sure.
Yeah.
Well, it was planned that I meet your Uncle Onsi. So
oh.
we did. And we hit it off,
mm-hmm.
and which was unusual because Pa was really sweating it. She's going to France, and
yeah,
I want her to get married, you know, how, mm-hmm. and all that. So I met him, and that night I saw the arm of God at night before I went to bed, just point. Because I had
really?
Prayed, Lord, my dad is really anxious. I know there are a lot of suitors coming, and mm-hmm. they want me to get married. And mm-hmm. I'm just so tired. Your will be done. And I just mm-hmm. left it in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that night, as I was getting ready to put my head on the pillow, I just saw the arm of God with his hand pointing.
Wow.
And it said to me, this is the one. And I said, yes, Lord. And I fell asleep because I just met him. I had no
yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
So it was, I probably needed God to be in the picture because I would have never gotten married otherwise.
Yeah.
I was a difficult cookie.
Oh.
So that happened. And I went to France
mm-hmm.
and his parents just happened to be leaving Egypt for the first time in 20 years.
Wow.
And they were going to France.
Oh, really?
That's part of their tour.
Wow.
So they took a train
mm-hmm.
from Paris to Dijon
mm-hmm.
to come and meet me, which was great because I didn't
wow.
want to marry or even consider
yeah.
anybody unless I met their family.
Sure. And it was just the two of them who came?
Just the two of them came
wow.
to Dijon. And
did that make you nervous to meet them?
Yeah, I cried because I just hardly, oh. I hardly knew him.
Yeah.
So it was really uncomfortable. I was all
yeah.
alone. And,
yeah.
And I was kind of uncomfortable because I didn't know, really. I mean, I know I saw the arm cut and every,
right.
but still, for
but
me, emotionally, as a human being,
yeah.
I mm-hmm. wasn't really 100% sure. It was too
yeah.
fast.
Yeah.
So for them to come and mm-hmm. assume that, mm-hmm. You know, and Uncle Onsi has a wonderful story that he loves to tell, so mm-hmm. I won't spoil it for
okay.
him, but he loves to tell about
okay.
what happened on his side, so
oh,
I'll let
yeah.
him
I'd
tell
like
it.
To hear that, too. Okay.
Yeah. So that
so
was
the meeting
it.
Must have gone well with his parents.
It did go very well with his parents, I guess.
Good.
Yeah. I took his father to a restaurant. He thought it was the best meal he had, and he ate frog legs.
Wow.
And he loved it. It was a little restaurant I used to go to, and I really wanted to eat something good. And and I remember it was 25 francs, which is like $5. Even back then, and it was a wonderful meal, so I could afford $5 as a student.
That's an awesome story. So when was the next time you saw Uncle Lindsay? Because you didn't see each other all summer then,
He would call me, and I couldn't get him off the phone. You had to go to the post office, and I would make the calls. So he would call me, and the students were standing in line to call home, and I couldn't get him off the phone. And then he got a call one day, and he said, "Are you sure there wasn't a mistake in your long-distance bill? It was 200 and something." This is back in 1974. Mm-hmm. So he said, no, you're right, no. And then I had asked him to tell Pa to send me some money from a, you know, so... I mean, it was from my own bank account. But please send me. So he didn't. He was so sweet. He was such a gentleman. He sent me the money. So after we got married, he said, "Okay, your dad owes me."
That's right.
He had the receipt, which he loved. He sent me like $250, which at the time went a long way.
Said,
"Okay, your dad owes me."
I can see him saying that.
Yes.
With his sense of humor.
Yes.
I'm sure he enjoyed that. That's a good one. Oh, I'm glad I asked that. See, I don't know a lot of this stuff. Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influences in your life?
Pa. Yeah. Absolutely. No question. He was such a blessing and such a wonderful father. Amazing. I don't know how I would have been as a human being without him. He had such incredible value system, strong sense of right and wrong, and he was so loving.
Yeah, you guys were extremely close.
Yeah, we were very close. We were very much alike, too. When he died, I told Uncle Lindsay, I said, "I just can't imagine he's dead." He said, "He's not. He's part of you. You are."
Yeah.
He was right. He is so much a part of me.
Yeah.
And Teta, too, had an incredible influence. Both of them. I was very blessed to have them as parents. Nobody's perfect. Neither one was. But Teta was a mess. She should have been a stand-up comedian at a different time.
That's right.
In a different time. Yeah. Women, you know, back then. Yeah. But she was very serious, like all comedians. You know, she had a very serious side to her.
Yeah, yeah.
But she'd get in a crowd, and it would be like Robin Williams being let loose.
Yes.
You know, you never knew what was going to come out of her mouth.
Right.
And she was loved to observe people.
Yeah.
She was an amazing observer of people, and then always had the funny comments and could get away with those funny comments.
Yeah.
And nobody else would have been able to get away with what she said, but she did and made everybody laugh. So it was a blessing. I was very blessed to have them as parents. So right offhand, I would say Mom and Dad were just an amazing influence.
That's a good answer. Oh, can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
I would say having children, their birth. It was such a blessing to have the children. Sometimes I want to kill them now. Like we all do.
Yeah.
But they were a big, big blessing and a big joy. To with all the challenges that life presents you.
Yeah.
No matter what, their children are a big blessing.
Yes, they are. Did you have a C-section with either of them, or was it just sort of a typical, traditional, everything went according to plan?
Very fast, actually.
Oh, really?
I had 4 and 5 hour labors.
Wow.
I tore. I shouldn't say that. But I mean, with Michael, I was pushing on the way to the hospital. It went so fast. Within 2 hours of labor, was going into transition. It was snowing. We were in Terre Haute, Indiana. It was a nice snowstorm that was coming, and I barely made it to the hospital before the storm. And
goodness.
And the doctor barely didn't come in time, and I was I was ready to deliver. It was just went very quickly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you get an epidural or anything like that? Or was there not even time for that?
There was no time for that.
Wow.
No time for that.
Wow.
With Monica, it went very fast, and it was cute because Uncle Onsi got me to the hospital, and he was panicking. The first time was like, take it easy. Teta and him are saying, take it easy. Then all of a sudden, he realizes, I'm fully dilated at home. Let's get in the car.
Oh, boy.
Let's get in the car. And I don't know what's going on, but
it
was my first child. So.
Yeah.
But the second time, I woke him up, and it was midnight with Monica, and he said, Onsi, I'm going into labor.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned over the other side and then suddenly registered. So he jumped up, and of course he knew. And he gets me up to the ward first and asks the nurse, do I have time to go in downstairs and register?
Oh, boy.
But he gets me up first because it went fast.
That's good.
And he didn't want me to do an epidural. Mm-hmm. And so the gynecologist was taller than he was by probably at least a foot. So he's standing on his tippy toes. And the gynecologist says, you've got to make a decision. Do you want an epidural or not?
Mm-hmm.
And with my first experience, I wanted anything to not go
anything,
through it.
Right.
And Uncle Onsi standing on the tippy toes because he is an interventional radiologist. Mm-hmm. So he's thinking of all the things that could go wrong.
Right.
So he's standing up over the doctor's shoulders, shaking his head, no, 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 no. And I said, yes, yes, yes.
Good for you.
So it slowed down the labor slightly, but not much. It went quickly.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was, so both went natural.
And were you in Georgia when you had Monica, or were you still?
We're in Dalton.
In Dalton.
We had Monica. Michael was born in Terre Haute.
Yeah.
And I left 6 weeks after he was born because I was working on my master's.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Onsi saw that master's was not going to be finished. I still had my comps to take.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you better go with the baby and let your mom take care of the baby while you study.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a year's worth of study in 3 months.
Wow.
And while I was there, he had decided to change jobs and had an interview in Dalton. So he came down for my birthday, April, to... for the interview in Dalton. So we moved we moved to Dalton. He got the offer right away. Mm-hmm. So we moved that June or July to Dalton.
Wow.
July, probably June, sometime in end of June.
Wow.
So that's how it happened.
Mm-hmm. So who stayed with Michael when you went into labor with Monica? Like, was Teta there in the house?
Teta was there, yeah. Well, it just happened. I mean, Monica was born right on time.
Mm-hmm.
Michael was a week early. Mm-hmm. Monica, I mean, was due May 12th, and I went into labor May 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And she was born May 13th, which was your grandmother's Catherine.
What a nice birthday present.
Paternal grandmother in your case.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't hit us. So when she was born, she was going to be Monica, I forgot what it was, Christine or something like that. And then when she was born on Teta's birthday, her middle name was obviously Catherine.
Yeah.
You got Teta's first name, and Monica got Teta's middle name.
Teta's first name. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
At different times.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I did not know all of that.
Yeah.
That's why I love doing this. Oh, that's what, I already asked you that one. Oh.
I'm glad you're doing this.
Thank you. Aunt Hilda, one time not too long ago, you told me some stuff I didn't even know because my dad had never told me about when you guys came here and like on a boat and how you arrived and things like that. Can you tell that story a little bit?
Yeah, sure. We left from Port Said.
Mm-hmm.
And on a boat, we were supposed to take a cruiser. Mm-hmm. Pa had lost like 25 kilos in a period of 2 years getting all the paperwork done.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 17 suitcases because he knew when we got here, we would not have much money.
Yeah.
He was gonna be a student. So that was another reason he wanted to take a ship because of all the luggage he wanted to bring. They didn't want to let your dad out. because he was eligible for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But he was an only son, so he really wasn't.
Oh.
But to get your dad out, get all the paperwork done, mm-hmm. you know, we said, we can't leave without him. There
right.
was no way.
Yeah, yeah.
So he, yeah, there was a lot of stress getting all the paperwork done mm-hmm. with so much. And Pa had an offer for a fellowship at the University of Miami and some mm-hmm. other offers, but he took the one mm-hmm. in University of Miami. So we got to Port Said ready to board the cruiser,
mm-hmm.
and it was late. Our visa was to expire. I mean, we, apparently, you know.
Oh, no.
So if we didn't leave,
mm-hmm.
well, we had to renew our visa and
go through
then.
All that. Yeah.
And nobody in our family knew we were leaving.
So very, no nobody one knew.
No, it was a dictatorship. If they had heard, if any of the family got a wind that we were going to the United States, mm-hmm. first thing they'd say, well, he's not coming back. And that's what the government needed to hear. And they wouldn't let
mm-hmm.
us out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so, and they wouldn't let us out too with any money. So whatever Pa left to take, to whatever Pa took and Tata mm-hmm. from Egypt were some things they could sell that were handcrafted.
Oh,
in Egypt, so that we mm-hmm. could have some money. Mm-hmm. So he had his pension, which was at the time were only $10,000. Mm-hmm. And then he bought those gifts. He tried to have some clothes, especially mm-hmm. I was a growing child.
Mm-hmm.
So Tata bought some shoes and mm-hmm. some clothes. Shoes didn't hold up very well because Egypt is dry weather. Mm-hmm. Miami is wet.
Yes.
The shoes didn't hold up at all. They were mm-hmm. beautiful leather shoes, but they didn't hold up.
Mm-hmm.
This is a side issue. But so anyway, Pa booked booked on a freighter
mm-hmm.
so that we can get out before the visa expires.
Mm-hmm.
Mona's father was the one with Mona who took a launch know, and got us to the freighter.
Wow.
And she remembers being Aww. On that freighter and saying goodbye.
Oh yeah.
So we had I was standing after we left. We were going, of course, through the Suez Canal,
mm-hmm.
and after we got on the Suez Canal, Pa had all these propaganda books. You mm-hmm. don't leave Egypt without propaganda books about Egypt. It's a dictatorship.
Oh, yeah.
It's the time of Nasser.
Mm-hmm.
So I was standing next to him. After we went through the Suez Canal, and he had this pile of books, and he took them and threw them into the sea.
Wow.
And I said, what are you doing? I was a child.
Yeah.
I don't know. He said, they're propaganda books.
You were like, oh, of course.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Because mm-hmm. we were told as children, your father and I, we didn't say a word to anybody yeah. about us leaving.
Yeah.
We sensed that people were disappearing into jails. You know, you go by an apartment and it's stamped by government stamp that that apartment was closed, and you knew that the father of that family was probably arrested as in jail.
Oh,
we
goodness.
Lived into it. We lived. Your phones were tapped. I mean, we knew. It didn't take even a child to figure out that mm-hmm. we were living in dangerous times. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and then the next thing I remember is standing next to Pa, and I'm seeing this big, huge rock. You could almost reach out and touch mm-hmm. it. And I said, what is that? Mm-hmm. And he said, that's the Rock of Gibraltar.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing I know, he's holding a magazine, a Time magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting and speaking to a couple. And mm-hmm. I think they showed him the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So I look, and it's this beautiful picture of this very handsome man and his wife. And I said, who are they? And he said, that's President Kennedy. He was just elected president of the United States, mm-hmm. and that's him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing is, I don't remember much until we get to New York City,
mm-hmm.
because I got sick. We hit the Mediterranean and the ocean, mm-hmm. the Atlantic Ocean, came together.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got very turbulent, and I got seasick.
Mm-hmm.
So 17 years from the time we left Port Said, 17 days after we left Port Said, we are at the port.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was a freighter, we did not get off at the regular port anymore. It mm-hmm. was the... What is the port that the immigrants years ago?
Ellis Island.
Well, back then it was just freight that land that got off there. Mm-hmm. But we landed in Ellis Island and picked up our 17 suitcases, got on the ferry boat and went to Manhattan.
Wow.
And spend the night there, and Pa went down and got us some breakfast. He came back and his face was all pale. I'm going to starve this family, because he paid at the time, 1961, mm-hmm. 50 cents for an apple, which back then you could probably get a dozen apples for
right,
that much.
Right.
So he was like panicking. There's a lot more to say, but it was cool to land in Ellis Island, which even then was a historical landmark.
Yeah.
And but we've landed like cargo, not like passengers.
Right. Yeah, it does sound like that with 17 suitcases. You probably felt like cargo.
Yes.
Wow.
So they were shipped to Miami. Pa had them shipped to Miami.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And then there was more to the story. But anyway, that's New York. That's our adventure in New York City.
Wow.
So getting to New York.
And then to get to Miami, did you take a train or?
We went, he had worked for Park Davis and Company. Mm-hmm. So we went to Detroit.
Oh.
And
to get to Miami.
Oh. They invited him to go to New York. The president of.
Oh, wow.
We went to it's called Grosse Pointe in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And we were invited to the president's home, which was like this mansion.
Yeah.
And it was a different lifestyle that I have not even seen as of yet here in the United States. Mm-hmm. We were in this huge dining room, and we had dinner. We sat in a big living room with a huge fireplace. It was all very Victorian in feel, and we were served dinner, not by the housewife, but by the maids and all that. It was really... Of course, I never saw that again until this day. But it was really, and this huge staircase going upstairs. It was just very beautiful home.
Yeah.
And they helped Dad buy a car.
Oh, good.
So
yeah.
we bought a car. Mm-hmm. I think it was a Ford 1957. Mm-hmm. See, it was 1961, so we bought a used car. Mm-hmm. Ford 1957, and we all drove from Detroit to Miami on two-lane roads. Back then, there were no highways that I know of.
Yeah, it must have taken days.
It did. It took about 3 days.
Wow.
And through North and South Carolina with the hills and, two-lane roads. It was an experience, and we stopped and got, I think it was the time for peaches. They were delicious peaches. Mm-hmm. And we got to Miami, and Pa started his student ship.
His multiple student ships.
That was the beginning.
So what was because this is stuff my dad just doesn't ever talk about. I think it kind of traumatized him to some extent. I think that's
it was
why he
traumatic
won't talk about
for him.
It.
It's hard for him.
Yeah,
it was. Well, I was a child. He was a teenager.
You, I'm sure, but
in different ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was still had to learn English, which happened quickly for me.
Well, that's good.
It was.
Yeah,
I was very
kids
lucky.
Learn fast.
Yeah.
But still, but like, how long was it after you left Egypt that you guys had any communication with anyone that you'd left behind there?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question, because Pa and Teta had dropped letters and cards from the ship to be mailed to all the relatives so they would know. Mm-hmm. Because up to that point, the family knew we were leaving, but they thought we were going to Sudan. Pa was going to work in Sudan for 2 years.
Really?
That was the story he gave them.
Okay.
So they would not panic. Sudan was not an adventurous, wonderful place to
go
to.
No.
So,
right.
So
right.
They wrote letters and cards to all the family telling them that they were on their way to the United States. Mm-hmm. So they let them know, but just in time.
Right, when it was
so
safe
to say it.
Say
it. So that's what happened. And so we didn't see family for over 11 years. Pa would not go back until he finished his master's, PhD, and got a citizenship. He wouldn't even go back with a residency.
Because he thought they wouldn't let him come back.
It was not safe.
Yeah.
It was not safe because Nasser, but by that time, so Nasser had died and Sadat was president. Because I remember going back when Sadat was president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a long time. So, but in that time, there were letters back and forth? And
there were letters. There were calls. Calls were very expensive.
Yeah.
So they would be 3-minute calls.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much they were, maybe $25, $30 for one three-minute call.
Wow, that's crazy, isn't
so it? So it was being students and everything, it was hard.
Right, yeah.
So they were brief calls, but there were a lot of letters going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Teta would write her sisters in Greek.
Yeah.
There were a lot of, and she would write, it was sweet. She didn't know how to cook. She was in her mid-30s, but had not really cooked that much.
Yeah.
And so she had a maid and a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And she still sat home and administered. You can see her grandmother.
Oh, I'm sure she
did. And everything was just perfect. Yes. Get that corner. Yes. Get that. It's dusty. You know?
Yes.
Everything was turned upside down. Yes. Things were put out in the fresh air to air out. Mm-hmm. And she was a meticulous housewife.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she would write letters to her sisters asking them, how do you make bamya? I mean, she, you know, she would, you know, as we know, she turned out really making
awesome
wonderful
cook.
Food,
yes.
But,
yes.
But it was through, it, I don't know if it was, but it was, but she made very good basic foods and it was always delicious, but her sisters would write her letters about certain foods because she didn't really know how to cook. Not really. She knew how to make a wonderful cake from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And I would wake up in the middle of the night and have a snack. And I'd wake up my nanny. I didn't wake up Teta to give me a snack in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, and I'd go back and hop in bed with my nanny or hop in bed with my... But as I told you in an earlier video, my nanny would get me up in the mornings.
Yes, yes.
In the cold mornings.
Yes.
With pulling my foot from under the heavy-duty cover, comforter, so that I could... she could put my socks on.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summer, I couldn't sleep. It was too hot. We didn't have air conditioning. Teta would give me a bottle with a cork on top that had been in the refrigerator to hug so I could fall asleep.
Wow.
It was...
Do you have fans?
Well, we usually, soon after that, when school was over, we'd go to the coast. We'd go to Port Said and spend the summer there.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't need fans there.
Yeah, there was enough wind and stuff.
Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. That's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you guys spent all of the summers there.
It was a wonderful childhood.
Can you tell me about any difficult moments when you moved here? You said you learned English quickly, but there was probably, like, did you start school immediately?
I started school.
Even though you couldn't understand really what they were saying? Like, do you remember that? Was that weird? Or?
I somehow, I guess because I had already spoken French and Arabic and understood Greek, somehow it was not difficult. I learned it by television.
Yeah.
We only had three channels at the time. I learned it with television, and they sent me to the library, and I got simpler books, and I would read the books. I don't know how. It just happened.
Yeah.
It just happened.
It probably happened like within a couple months.
Oh,
I would imagine.
It was real
quick. You were
pretty
much fluent. Yeah, yeah.
It was really very quick.
Yeah.
It just was easy.
The best way to learn a language.
It was easy. I don't know how, but I just understood it. I don't know how. I honestly don't.
Yeah.
But the books helped, and television helped. And, of course, I'd get out there you know, talk to kids because we had a playground where all this it was graduate student apartments, so we had a playground in the center.
Oh, nice.
And
yeah.
we would get out and play. And
And did Teta work when you moved here?
No, she never worked.
Oh, okay.
She never worked.
So she just was home taking care of everybody and trying to learn to cook.
And crying a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Crying a lot. Neighbors were friendly. And being in a student apartment, and as a foreign student, you know, the neighbors would just walk in, shut the door, and go into their own life, you know, right across the hall, and the hall wasn't that big. So she would cry, like, the neighbors don't even say hello.
Yeah.
You know, it was hard. Yeah. It was a lot of crying. It was very, very hard for her.
I'm sure it was.
And it was hard for your dad because, as you know, his whole life was centered around his cousins and all the mischief they got into.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, he's in college. He was 17, starting college, and in a very different culture. And he wasn't thrilled about leaving, you know, his family and his routine, you know, his So it was a hard time. And then Pa was hard on him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
For other reasons, you know, but with studying and adjusting to a lot of stuff.
So. Yeah, well, and there was probably an enormous amount of pressure on him to be successful in what he was doing.
I never thought I'd see my dad cry, but I have sat next to my dad as he was crying.
Really?
It was hard.
Like during that time when he was studying
was
and adjusting?
Hard. It was hard. But I would sit next to him when he was working on his thesis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only one that probably could read his writing. And he'd say, Hilda, come and sit with me. And he'd type with two fingers and then take it to the typist and then take it to his advisor. And it would come back. And then all the red marks, I would read through the red marks. I would read through Pa's writing. And I would read to him as he typed with two fingers. So that was very special memories. It was tough. But then when it came to his PhD dissertation, he walked in and out. All that paid off.
Good for him.
Never, they didn't change a single letter.
Wow, really?
So it paid off. The hard times he went through was great.
Yeah.
And he came, remember, he was like top in his class in biochemistry. He was sweating it at University of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He got 100%.
Wow.
In biochemistry. Mm-hmm. And he was just sweating. He was so scared.
Yeah.
And he was just, he did very well with his research, with everything. And finished on time in 4 years, which is not easy with a PhD.
No, it's not. Yeah.
So it paid off. Having a hard time with a master's paid off with a PhD.
Do you think that he ever, because I know it wasn't to study really that he came here, because he could have gone anywhere to get a PhD, but I mean it was more a political situation that he was trying to get out of, right?
He saw the writing on the wall very early, like in the mid 50s. Okay, so he had friends who were like him, and so he did his research and everything. He went, it's a long story, but he went back to school and got a degree in bacteriology.
In Egypt?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this is another drama here. Because he was top in his class, the military recruited him.
Oh, really?
They told him they wanted him to serve, to work for them. And that was hard on your father.
Yeah.
Because we would have had a private chauffeur, we would have had a government car. It would have been a different lifestyle at all. And Pa panicked. He didn't want any of that. He wanted to get out. And it was hard on your dad, who couldn't understand why Pa was giving all that up. But our phones were tapped. We were Christian. You know, I mean, the writing didn't look on the wall, didn't look very good. So Pa managed with some pull from people that he knew to get him out of that situation. So he didn't have to go into, he would have been an officer in the military. So he got out of it. And so he applied to different universities. And back then it was, they accepted people on merit. I mean, so he got a fellowship. You didn't have a lot of Americans going to graduate school. Jobs were easy to find. People were not interested in pursuing an education further than college or high school, because
they
didn't need to. So he got a fellowship. They were paying him $400 a month, which was hard at the time with a family of four. And from that we had to live, you know, pay living expenses, apartment and all that, which was a student apartment, but still. And I'm assuming, I think his tuition was paid for. So
probably.
It was a fellowship.
It usually is,
It was a fellowship. And then when he finished that, he got a fellowship at the University of Miami, I mean, the University of Pittsburgh. It was tough. It was tough. And it was not the lifestyle we were used to by any stretch of the imagination. But then he finished it all.
Do you think he ever second-guessed that decision to leave because of how hard it was for so many years after you came?
No. I tell you why. That's my guess. The only one that knew we were leaving was my uncle. He's the one that sent his boys to Australia.
Which uncle is that?
Uncle Ramses Tatus.
Oh, yeah.
He was the most adventurous of all the family. And he knew. Mm-hmm. Pa confided on him, and he was a wheeler dealer type of person. So when Pa got in trouble, he didn't know how to bribe people. He didn't know how to get things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Uncle Ramsey said, just give him something under the table. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So Uncle Ramses, his real name was Peter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Panayoti in Greek, which means Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why Peter got his name, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a mess. But anyway, he would go with Pa. He went with Pa with all the different things that needed someone to know how to deal with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things Pa did was leave the apartment with all its furniture for Uncle Ramses to auction 2 years after we left.
Why 2 years?
Again, because of the government, the fear of the government. If it was auctioned right after we left.
Oh, then the government would know
it would,
right
it
away.
Wanted,
then,
yeah. And so Uncle Ramses auctioned everything 2 years after we left.
Wow.
So everything was auctioned.
That must have been kind of sad.
Well, that's how determined your grandfather was.
Yeah, yeah.
He just knew it was.
Yeah.
He was determined.
Yeah,
he loved all our furniture, with either handmade or he bought them at auctions, like antiques, beautiful things. He'd walk in with a beautiful vase. I mean, they had beautiful stuff.
Yeah, I'm
and
sure.
Everything was auctioned. And then he told Teta, well, we'll see. Teta didn't want to leave. So we'll see. We'll give it 2 years. He wanted to also give Teta time to adjust.
Yeah,
but
was
he
smart.
Was determined, and he loved the United States, loved this country. And when he saw things go wrong, he'd say, this country doesn't deserve this. It's a wonderful country.
Mm-hmm.
He just loved this country so much.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were alive when... Still, they were alive when 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was, so, he was... I don't know how.
Yeah.
But he'll tell you, we didn't have health insurance, but none of us got sick until we got health insurance.
Yeah.
He said it was just... it was amazing how we just did not even need health insurance for... he was in his 40s. By the time he got... the citizenship. He was 42 when he came here.
Wow, really?
So, yeah, he was not young, and Tita was in her mid-30s, 35, 36. So, but God was good. God was good to us.
Yeah.
And it all worked out.
Yeah.
And when he finished his PhD, Congress had passed a law that if you've got a PhD from the United States, that you could apply for a green card.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well,
God,
that did it.
Again,
yes.
I don't think now you can do... I don't know what it's like now.
I don't
but
know
back
either.
Then,
yeah.
The law had just passed, just at a time when he was struggling. Like, how am I going to... What am I going to do?
Yeah.
It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
His advisor, Dr. Hammond, there were a lot of Muslims who came here through the government. Pa didn't. And so they knew what Dad was up to, and they really shafted him. So Dr. Hammond would not give Dad a recommendation to stay here. He would not. Well, time passed. Dr. Hammond retired. They came to visit Pa when he became a professor at Georgia State University. And he was a missionary. Dr. Hammond had been a missionary in Africa before he came here, and you know, was at the University of Pittsburgh as head of the department at the time. And he apologized to Pa and Tita. He said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
So that's why they came
You're
to Georgia.
You're an asset. Well, they went...
Because they couldn't stay in Pittsburgh?
No, he finished his PhD. He had, by that time, see, God's timing was perfect.
Yeah.
When Hammond said no, Congress said yes.
Okay, I see.
Right at the time.
Yeah.
So he got a job working at an institute, a research institute in New Orleans. And while he did that... Tulane University would ask him to come and give lectures, and he rediscovered that he loved teaching too, not just research. So he ran into an old friend of his in the University of Miami, Don Ahern, who was with Pa at the University of Miami while he was getting his master's. Ran into him at a meeting, a professional meeting, and he said, Adley, we need a professor of immunology at Georgia State University. Mm-hmm. Are you interested? And Pa, at the time, the government had lessened the research money, mm-hmm. so he was going to be out of work.
Oh.
I mean, God's timing was amazing.
Wow.
So he said, yes, I'd love to. He came for the interview, got the position.
Yeah.
And then he stayed at Georgia State until he retired.
Yeah.
He, if you remember, he was a pioneer in the cervical cancer.
Yeah.
And I was there the day that a delegation from Japan came. Back then, Japan was a big thing.
Wow.
They wanted to produce the test.
Mm-hmm.
And they came. They got on the plane and mm-hmm. came to speak to Pa.
Wow.
And I said, what did you say? What's going on? He said, mm-hmm. I told him we still had a good 20 years before we could produce it. We were just in the beginning stages, that the test was not ready to, mm-hmm. or the vaccine was mm-hmm. not ready. And your grandfather lived long enough to give me a call and say, did you hear the news?
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
when the vaccine was was going to start being
used.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, he was so happy.
Oh, good.
He was so happy. So.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That saved a lot of lives, like, if you look at it.
Oh, now, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. Yeah. Well, Aunt Hilda, we're almost out of the time. I guess, is there anything else you want to tell me?
He was very helpful because of his cancer research when I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah.
To sit with me until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning mm. and explain to me
mm-hmm.
Some things that he just was very comforting.
Yeah. Yeah.
To
To understand it.
To understand what happened and T cells and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody else could have said that to me.
Yeah.
So it was very helpful too. It was a blessing for me to have mm-hmm. him sit and care and explain mm-hmm. and talk to me and mm-hmm. Be very optimistic, which was his way.
Yeah. So. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. That's really sweet. Well, thank you. I'm sorry that
took
Uncle longer.
That's what I was afraid, that he will give you his story, which was going to be wonderful, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't have gotten to say what I had to say.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you did. Thanks for doing that with me, Aunt Hilda. And I can send you guys a copy of it, too, if you want. If
the kids will
want to hear it.
That's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get some caffeine. So we can go on to the next. Yeah. Let's see what time it is. Hey, Brad. Are you still here?
Okay.
I don't know what I did here. Cancel.
I don't know what you did.
It does not look to me as though you've taken a shower.